This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. There's a group of congressmen and women from both parties working on bipartisan solutions to dealing with the coronavirus crisis.
The caucus is made up of both Democrats and Republicans that say in order to reopen the country, they must look at this at all angles. So they created a checklist that will look to protect both the public health as well as the economic recovery at the same time.
At the end of the day, we all want things to be open, and we know that our lives are going to be changed quite a bit.
Michigan Representative Fred Upton is one of the 50 members of the Problem Solvers Caucus working together for an answer. As a collective group, they've highlighted health-wise the biggest step. That's having mass testing with rapid results.
We have to test people that are asymptomatic because they can be carrying the disease. And if they go back to work, we reopen the economy, we open up a business, we open up a store, and they're carrying the disease and giving it to other people, then we're back where we started.
The checklist aims to ensure businesses, schools, and hospitals have the cleaning supplies, personal protection equipment, and protocols needed to keep people safe.
We got to work with our employers. Large and small, employees aren't going to want to go to work unless they feel that they're safe.
While also establishing protocol to identify, contain, and extinguish hotspots.
That national standard, and then each state has to have an action plan in order to show that it meets that testing that we envision under this proposal. That would be safe enough to monitor.
Economically, the checklist calls for expanding low-interest loans, tax incentives, and job placement programs to get people hired again. It also would include more stimulus programs.
Small businesses that got the money last week ahead of the cutoff, they were ecstatic. Their employees were ecstatic because it meant to them that they're going to survive.
For others on the brink of bankruptcy,
we're trying to say, can you hold on a little bit longer? This money that we're going to likely, hopefully, approve but before the end of the week will save them from bankruptcy.
The caucus says this virus may have hit some cities harder health-wise and economic, but the checklist must be able to meet everywhere. And now that it has passed, it will be used as the benchmark for any future decisions by the House and Senate.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer had similar messages this past week for their citizens, but got very different reactions.
Will enable us to get back to work. It just won't be all at once or all of a sudden or in a responsible, unsafe manner, but we'll get there.
We are taking a limited action for a limited amount of time to save people's lives.
She made no apologies for the restrictions that she has put in place and even went as far as to rebuke the protesters that showed up in Lansing last week to protest those restrictions. However, in this news conference earlier, Governor Whitmer did acknowledge the economic hardship that the stay-at-home orders have inflicted on local businesses. She herself actually announced that she would be taking a 10% pay cut in solidarity with everyday Michiganders. And while she did hint that they are exploring the steps of reopening, she said right now the most important thing that all Michiganders can do is just to continue to stay home.
To those of you who want to get back to work as soon as possible, stay home. To those of you who made plans for June, July, or August and want to see them through, stay home. What happens next depends on every single one of us. When faced with an unprecedented crisis like this, good people step up and do their part.
And Michigan's stay-at-home order is set to expire on April 30th, and Governor Whitmer says she is consulting with professionals on what steps to reopening or the feasibility of reopening would be. However, she said the next 10 days are going to be really important in her decision-making.
That's WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. Coronavirus testing is supposed to be free, but some people are getting billed. St. Joseph County health leaders say this could hinder efforts to expand testing in our area. When Congress passed the coronavirus stimulus law back in mid-March, it was supposed to cover testing and all testing-related services.
Yes, but the problem is that some labs and health systems aren't getting paid for taking those tests or processing them. When Congress passed the coronavirus stimulus law back in mid-March, it was supposed to cover testing and all testing-related services. It mandated that private insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, and other government plans cover testing. But there are gaps. Health officials in St. Joseph County say in some cases, like if a person doesn't have health insurance, the testing sites and labs aren't getting paid. Those health leaders say they're trying to get money from the state to pay these gaps. In the meantime, some patients are getting bills in the mail, in some cases as high as $100.
And they're processing all the specimens that they receive, so, without regard to insurance status.
Yeah.
So it hadn't been a barrier in that regard. My concern is the you know, the patients who are under the impression testing is free, who then get a bill, and, you know, the government has said, we'll pay for testing. Well, what they're saying is they're requiring insurance companies to cover the test, which is, at the patient level, is not necessarily the same thing.
It is unclear if the current stimulus being decided in Washington will help. Officials, health officials here don't think so, and they worry this could keep some people from wanting to get tested or hinder testing in the long term. They say the most important thing is that people are getting the tests and the care that they need.
WSBT 22's Kristen Bean reporting. Local hospitals are urging you not to stay home if you have a health emergency. They're reporting fewer patients coming into the ER since the pandemic began. But fewer doesn't necessarily mean that's good news. Here's WSBT 22's Caroline Torrey.
The Indiana State Department of Health has raised concern that people are not getting care and dying at home. And for those coming into the ER, doctors I spoke with say patients are waiting too long to come in and arriving in worse shape than before the start of the pandemic. They also said that's leading to more patients being admitted. Those reasons are why they want you to get treatment as soon as you need it.
We're still here. We're ready for you. We're prepared. We can keep you safe. We have lots of measures in place to ensure, you know, patients who come to our emergency department and trust us with their care are going to be kept safe.
Emergency care doctors at Beacon and St. Joseph Health Systems want the public to know steps are being taken to protect everyone who comes through their doors.
They need to be reassured that we're taking each and every precaution we can to make sure that they are not exposed to coronavirus if they're there for another reason.
Both health systems have seen fewer patients coming in seeking care for non-coronavirus-related emergencies. The problem, that's leading to people getting sicker before choosing to come in or dying at home. That's something doctors say is avoidable because hospitals are ready to treat patients immediately, especially ones who don't have time on their side.
I worry about people who have chronic illnesses, cardiac disease, potential for stroke.
Stroke patients, where it's really critical, if you are having stroke symptoms or concerns for stroke symptoms, we really have a very narrow window of time where we can offer you the most beneficial therapies.
They should follow their gut and see us early if they think there's really something going on. We can really help more if we get to the people sooner as opposed to later.
If you're concerned about resources, including hospital beds, they want you to know there are plenty of them open to take care of all major health issues.
Please listen to your symptoms. Please self-monitor and make sure that you get care when you need it.
If you have a health issue that doesn't require emergency attention, they suggest you call your doctor or speak with them via video. And of course, to stay as healthy as possible during this very stressful time, they stress taking every step possible to care for yourself. Have a healthy diet, exercise, and take your regular medications.
Local hospitals urge you not to stay home if you have a health emergency. A local restaurant owner was about to lose hope amid the coronavirus shutdown, but the help of a generous donor turned her day around. This anonymous person donated their stimulus check to several area businesses.
The person apparently gave a donation out to 16 local businesses. The owner of Maxi's in Mishawaka said it's like getting a flower on a gloomy day. I also talked to the owner of Diner on 12th, and she said it was a pleasant surprise.
Kate Sargent has been the owner of Diner on 12th for 2 years, and she said that she loves it.
We know 95% of our customers by name when they walk in the door, and we love that. We love to know what their kids or their grandchildren are doing each day.
Her customers and her workers are what makes her love her job. She's had to lay off over half of her employees and only gets to see her regulars through a drive-through window. Not having that contact every day was wearing her down.
I was ready to shut the doors. We'll see in a few months when everything clears, which probably would have put me into, I hope not bankruptcy, but pretty darn close.
Saturday started like a normal day for her. Just her and her cook Lori at the diner. That's when the mailman came.
And I saw an envelope with handwriting, which is not normal because we get bills. And I walked over and I decided I was going to open it right then. And I started to cry.
It was a check and a letter from a retired person who wanted to donate their stimulus check to help support some of their favorite businesses. Signed, a hopeful Hoosier.
This person made me know that I can do this. I can go on. I can open every day. I can get by with shouting out, "Hey, how you doing?" through the window. And being content with that, making sure that they've got the best food that I can give to them. And knowing that soon we're going to get back to those times that we cherish.
She says at the end of the day, it's not about the money. It's about caring for one another. And that's exactly what this donor did.
Hopeful Hoosier and Mishawaka, you're my hero.
Sergeant says you don't have to give your stimulus check, but liking a business's Facebook page or going to buy a $1 cookie can help local restaurants so much.
WSBT 22's Erica Finke reporting. With schools closed across the country, there's a national conversation about what students are losing academically. But what about the impact on their social growth?
When your job is to connect with students who are struggling socially, how do you do that from a distance? Jamie Presswood works with middle schoolers in Elkhart. She uses email and talks on the phone, as you might expect. But she also posts positive quotes on her Instagram and shares photos of her beloved dog. Her message to them is clear. We'll get through this.
The teenagers could be the ones that are affected possibly the most, just with all the development that happens during the teen years.
Jamie Presswood typically sees 15 to 20 students. And she says flexibility has been the key as she adjusts to connecting with her students from home. While teachers worry about the academics, she's focused on how the pandemic impacts her students socially and emotionally.
I work with kids on a lot of different things, whether it's just general coping skills, social skills, learning to express emotions.
Many complain of boredom and missing their friends. They miss connecting with a larger community outside their families via clubs, sports teams, and after-school programs. But as long as e-learning doesn't continue into the fall, she thinks her kids can bounce back.
Had this happened, 15, 20 years ago, before all this happened, I think it would definitely have had a greater impact.
Presswood says she's talked with parents about how to keep their kids engaged socially and emotionally, but she reminds them that kids are resilient. Darsha Narvaez agrees.
Yes.
The professor of psychology at Notre Dame studies how children develop at a young age. She says older students should have an easier time keeping social connections than their younger peers.
Can you imagine this happening 100 years ago? Now they can talk, they can text, they can Zoom, they can Skype, all these things.
But for younger students especially, it can be difficult.
When you don't get to go to school, you're missing the friendships, right? That's the really important thing that children need.
Narvaez says allowing kids to be creative and imaginative can help their brains grow. Things like playing charades or creating obstacle courses. Another is encouraging them to think about those less fortunate.
There are people who are shut in. And maybe it's grandma and grandpa who can't do those things, and they're really isolated.
For them, she says to let kids write a story and read it to them, or draw pictures and show it to them over Zoom or FaceTime.
So this time now is where families are cocooning themselves. It's a great time to work on social and emotional intelligence.
Narvaez says don't worry so much about book learning for younger students. Encourage them to get outside and play with them. Parent interaction alone can grow their social intelligence.
One of the best ways to do that is to play.
To see her students face-to-face, Presswood says she's gone to several of the food pickups organized by the district. It's not much, she admits, but she likes to wave to her students as they drive by to pick up food.
That's WSBT 22's Tolly Taylor reporting. Good news for nurseries and garden centers in Indiana. They're now allowed to be open for business. This after a clarification by the governor this past Monday. Governor Eric Holcomb's revised stay-at-home order clarified some essential businesses, including garden centers and nurseries.
They have to limit the number of customers at their facility and, of course, follow social distancing guidelines. But for garden centers and nurseries in our area, this is really good news. April and May are their busiest months, with a peak in business coming around Mother's Day. At Linton's Enchanted Gardens in Elkhart, drive-up service has been offered, but because they hadn't been allowed to actually open their doors, April's business was down more than 90%. At Ginger Valley and Granger, the phones are ringing because curbside business is flowing. Both businesses are eager for normal operations to resume.
The biggest draw here is really the experience, and we are set up to attract families and basically kids of all ages. Certainly having a train that operates and takes our guests around the 9-acre facility. It's sad because that's been sitting idle all season long.
People expect us to give them, what they've been used to getting here. So it's all here. It's all here, but it's the safety more than anything else. Certainly we'd like to be open, but we would rather have everybody safe and healthy.
In Michigan, the regulations are much more strict. Greenhouses and garden centers have not been allowed to open. Under Governor Gretchen Whitmer's orders, they could open May 1st, but that's expected to be pushed back.
WSBT 22's Kristen Bean reporting.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.